Thank you, Grace, and good morning. I think it's still morning. We are in a season of Lent, and during the season, we are going through the Sermon on the Mount and the Gospel of Matthew. And last Sunday, we heard Jesus' warning against vain glory, and in today's text, we will hear Jesus' warning against insatiable materialism. And he says that we have a choice between two treasures, two eyes, and two masters. Let's read the text for today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, or mammon in Greek. Well, people will do almost anything for to succeed. They will do anything for money. Last Wednesday, all the major news outlets reported a college admissions scam. The Justice Department conducted an investigation that involved about 200 agents nationwide and resulted in charges against 50 people in six states. At the center of the scam is a person named Mr. William Singer, the founder of a college preparatory business called the Edge College and Career Network, also known as The Key, based in Newport Beach, California. Mr. Singer used his business to help students cheat on their SATs or ACTs, to pay bribes to college coaches to get them into colleges with fake athletic credentials. He used The Key as a front, allowing parents to funnel money into an account without having to pay taxes. Mr. Singer and the rich parents knew that their kids would not be able to get into these top schools, so they used a side door to get in. College football or basketball is very popular and the players are well known, but other sports, the less popular sports like water polo, or I love volleyball, but volleyball is not popular. So volleyball and even tennis, you know, people, they don't know who's playing and they don't really care. So these coaches can get away with these, fake credentials. So the rich parents, they pay Mr. Singer, and in turn, Mr. Singer paid some of these coaches to let his students in to these top schools as a great water polo player or as a great volleyball player, although the kid has never played them before in his life or her life. So some Hollywood stars and some famous business leaders, including a few here in the Bay Area, were charged, and many coaches were fired from their schools. And Mr. Singer, he did the scam for money. The proctors who helped the students cheat did it for money. The coaches who accepted the bribes and let the students in did it for money. The parents who paid the bribes to let their kids get into these top schools, they did it because they want their kids to succeed. And in our society, success is mainly defined by how much money you make. So for all of them, the security and their hope were confined to this life only. They were all serving the god of mammon, or the god of money or possessions. Materialism is not peculiarly a modern problem. It has been a stumbling block in every generation, including that of Jesus. The Bible says that the Pharisees, the religious Jewish leaders, that they loved money. They loved money. In our today's text, Jesus says that there are two kinds of treasures, the earthly treasure and the heavenly treasure. And that means that we can live our lives trying to acquire treasures on earth or trying to acquire treasures in heaven. Again, we have to remember that Jesus is not speaking, it's not talking about, you know, getting salvation through good works. He's talking to the disciples, people who are already Christians. The kingdom treasures are for those who are poor in the spirit, those who have trusted in the good works that Jesus Christ has achieved for us. The earthly treasure is not only about money, though. It can be anything on earth we treasure. It can be anything from which we derive our satisfaction or security. Anything that we live for. And it's anything that stops in this world, in this life. So amassing earthly treasures can be pursuing more and more popularity, or pursuing greater pleasure and comfort, or greater fame, or a greater name as a cutting-edge researcher or innovator, or holding onto a position and trying to expand the power of that position, or trying to achieve more and more. If we place our hope in these earthly things, if they are the ultimate source of our satisfaction, then we are in trouble, Jesus says, because they do not last. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Things on earth cannot last and cannot satisfy us. Schopenhauer famously said, "Wealth is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become," and the same is true for fame. Jesus tells us to invest in things that will last, to invest in things that will truly satisfy us, and that is storing up treasures in God's kingdom. And our hearts follow where our treasures are. What we treasure reveals what's in our hearts. And everybody has some kind of treasure. What do you treasure in your life? Do we value the treasures of the earth or the treasures of God's kingdom? We end up serving what we treasure. When I was thinking about this, I asked myself, you know, what's the most valuable thing in God's kingdom? And the answer was obvious. The most valuable, the most worthy thing in God's kingdom is God Himself, the King, God's presence. King is what makes God's kingdom valuable. And Jesus Christ Himself is the most valuable being in God's kingdom. As the hymn goes, "I would rather have Jesus than anything this world offers today." Laying up treasures in heaven is investing in God and in His kingdom. And what do we need to invest in God and His kingdom? First, we need a single vision. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And it's a difficult text, and there are many different interpretations on this passage. The word for healthy eye in Greek can also mean a single eye. So King James Version has, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And the word for unhealthy eye in Greek is literally the evil eye. So if the healthy eye is a single eye, then the unhealthy or the evil eye may be double eye or double vision. And Jesus is not really talking about our physical, you know, eyesight, but he is rather talking about our heart sight, the way the heart sees things through faith. The single eye is the heart with a single focus on God and his rewards. A single eye or single heart treasures God and his kingdom. And the single heart or the single eye looks at God as the ultimate source of his joy, security, and happiness. But the evil eye is the heart that is divided between the treasures of the earth and God and his kingdom. And as a Christian, you know, that person knows the value of God's kingdom, and yet he cannot give up treasuring things of the earth. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The single eye looks forward to the rewards of God, but the evil eye has one eye looking at God and one eye looking at the material things. And the result of that misalignment of the eyes is a double vision. The evil eye does not have a clear vision. It looks at God, but its vision is distracted by the things of the world. A double vision will give you a headache, a blurry vision, and ultimately darkness. The single eye also means that we have a proper perspective on our possessions. When our hearts are focused on God and his rewards, we view ourselves as pilgrims on earth. We view our life as God's children on a journey toward home. And we think of ourselves as stewards of all that God has given us. That we are not the permanent holders of our possessions. At the last judgment day, we will have to give account to God of how we have lived, and that includes explanation of how we have used our resources, our money, to serve God and serve others. And the evil eye is attached to the earthly things. The heart with double vision thinks that it owns the property, that it's the owner of all earthly possessions, and that heart cannot let go of them. But the heart of the single eye is attached to God and is very loosely attached to the things of this earth. And one commentator summed it up like this: if the eye is not clear on this matter of treasuring, the whole of one's life is perverted. The second thing we need to invest in God and his kingdom is a single devotion. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. The greatest rival God to Yahweh, the true God, is the God of Mammon, the God of possessions or money. Mammon is an idol. It is a master that has tremendous power to draw people into its orbit. As a false god, Mammon promises security and happiness, but it cannot deliver. You know, when I was in high school, I listened to lots of music, and in college too. And I listened to all kinds, you know, classical, jazz, pop. I wasn't really into heavy metal, and I despise modern classical music. I can't stand modern classical. But I used to collect lots of classical music CDs. And because I enjoyed listening to music, I had a thing for like audio systems and boom boxes. They were like my, you know, earthly treasures. So I still remember the time when I worked hard all summer, and with the money that I made, I bought my first brand new boombox. And it was very nice. It was like a, you know, black colored Sony boombox with a CD player on top, radio in the middle, and two double cassette decks at the bottom, and two detachable speakers on the sides. And it was a beauty. I love that thing. And I bought it, and I put it in my room, and I look at it, and I'm like, I was so happy for like maybe two weeks. But after 2 weeks, that joy was gone. And, you know, we all have experienced how fleeting that joy is that we get from things of the earth. Mammon promises much, but it does not deliver. And just like Yahweh, the God of Mammon demands a total devotion. The recent college admission scam shows as yet another example of what people will do to serve Mammon. Jesus tells us to have a single devotion for God, because it is impossible to serve God and Mammon at the same time. So we have to make a choice. Are we going to serve God with a single devotion, or are we going to pretend that we can serve two masters at the same time? And you know, we like to have that double devotion. My college friend, who is a Christian, he told me, "Joe, I like being on the fence. I like having one foot in the world and one foot in God's kingdom. You know, you kind of get the best of both worlds." But Jesus says that it is not possible to be on the fence. Eventually, our sinful heart will move us toward the mammon. We lay up treasure in heaven when we do His will out of our devotion or love for Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God will remain or live forever. Single devotion to God means that we first invest in our relationship with God. Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We first have to invest in our relationship with Jesus so that we can become more like Christ and bear the fruit of the Spirit. And all the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit are one fruit of God's love. It's the fruit of love. And the ultimate act of love toward others is sharing the good news, is telling the good news. When we share the gospel with the unchurched, or when we support local missions or support overseas missionaries, we are investing in our future in God's kingdom. A single devotion to God also means that we give away our possessions or our mammon to serve God and others. When we have a clear single vision, when we see that God is the owner of all that I possess, we will not serve mammon, but use mammon to serve God and others, especially the poor. Jesus said to a rich young ruler, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. Then you will store up treasure in heaven." And that is how we invest in God's kingdom. God has a special concern for the poor. Why did Jesus come down? Isaiah says that the Messiah came down to preach the good news first to the poor. He came to give His life for the poor. But He also provided things that the poor folks needed. Proverbs 19:17 says, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his deed." Proverbs 21:13, "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. We are investing in God and in His kingdom when we give ourselves and give our possessions to the poor and the needy. In a capitalistic society, a successful person is someone who has acquired lots of money or lots of fame or lots of real estate. But in God's kingdom, a rich person or a successful person is someone who has given away lots of wealth for the poor, who has given away one's talent in service of others, who has given away oneself in love to serve others. When we consider what Jesus has done for us, we see that Jesus had given up everything for us. Figuratively, Jesus is the one who went out and sold everything he had to give to the poor. Jesus is God. He is equal to God. And yet, he gave up his riches in heaven. And he became poor so that through his poverty, we may become rich. He gave up his royal right to be served, but became a servant so that we can be served by him. On the cross, he gave up his life for us so that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. During this season of Lent, we can practice simplicity and selfless giving. We can learn to live simply when we see wealth and our possessions as a provision from God. James Bryan Smith asks these two questions before he buys anything. He asks, do I really need this? If we believe that our money is not ours but God's, then we are less likely to spend it on things that I don't really need. And the second question he asks is, will this purchase bring me a permanent kingdom joy? We can also practice selfless giving this season. If your giving to the church has been rather sporadic, maybe you can set up your mind. Maybe you can decide, I want to set aside a certain amount of my income and give it to the church regularly to be used for God's purpose. Many people give up things during Lent. They give up eating chocolate or eating, drinking coffee, or some people, they don't eat meat during the Holy Week or at least on Good Friday. Perhaps we can give up drinking alcohol for a week or two, or not go to Starbucks for a week or two. And with the money you saved, maybe we can give that money to the poor and the needy, to an agency that serves the poor. Or I know some people who do acts of random kindness. With money you saved, maybe when you're in Starbucks, you can just pay for the coffee for the person right behind you, just randomly. You can also give yourself and your time. You can volunteer to serve at the school your kids go to, or volunteer to babysit for your neighbor or even for our church members. When we give away our material resources or ourselves to serve God and others, God will store up his rewards for us in his kingdom.